Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
And nurturing hope in times of waiting. This is when hope feels fragile. This is when hope feels that, it's difficult to make it. And so we're going to be talking to our elder this morning and hear exactly what he has to say this morning. And so thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the glorious morning here on the Adventist World Radio. Good morning to you, Elder Shibula.
Good morning to you. How are you?
Very well, thank you, sir. Are you doing well?
No, I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing great. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for joining us this morning. You know what? We're actually talking about continuing from yesterday's theme. There are days when hope feels thin. And really, hope, in my view, is what fuels us to go forward. And without hope, truly speaking, I remember the days when Barack Obama was contesting elections at the first term. And one of the major elements he gave to the American people is hope. And he was, I think his acceptance speech, he said that without hope, we die. So there are days when that hope feels thin. You believe, but barely. You pray, but with hesitation. This fragility is not failure, as it were. It's part of the human experience. And God does require strong hope. He responds to honest hope. Even a flicker can be enough. Now, my elder, what does fragile hope look like for you, and how do you treat it?
Very true, actually, as you have said it. It is these tendencies are very natural to us as human beings because maybe of our weaknesses and so on. We cannot always be firm, cannot always have this hope and so on. We cannot go on because of the inadequacies that we have.
Yeah.
So these tendencies of feeling inadequate, things not going possible, not being possible. And so those feelings are natural. Those things are natural. As one writer said that this feeling, this type of hope is not actually failure.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Maybe others may look upon, no, I've failed, I've not done that, I've not impressed my God, I've not done that. It is part of, it's our nature, it is part of us, okay? It is part of the human what experience. But coming to the question, what does this fragile hope looks like for you?
Yeah.
And how do you treat it?
Yeah.
It is very real. I think for me, I've had the instances where I've also felt that it is not enough, okay? Mm-hmm. I've felt very weak, very inadequate. This has happened to me. I'm sure even many other Christians out there, they can testify that indeed sometimes this journey of walk is today you are up, the other day you are down, the other day again you are encouraged, the other day you are down. But how do you treat it? Coming to the big question. I think when we read in Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse is 31. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And the Bible says, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Once our hope feels fragile, not adequate, not enough, I think the best thing is to trust once more in the Lord. To trust more in the Lord, and the Lord has promised to give us strength and the power. And I've seen it again in history, time and again.
Yeah.
Who are patriarchs in the Bible, okay? Mm. They felt inadequate, but they continued knocking at the door of the Lord, okay? Mm. They felt not worthy because their belief was below par. But again, it is that drive that say, my God, you definitely hear me out. My God, you definitely call me out. Mm. Yeah, so how we treat it, I think, is to trust in the Lord, and the Lord has promised to give us that energy, inner energy, okay? I don't know how I can put it, but there's that drive that the Lord just gives you.
Yeah.
That is unique. Mm. We continue moving forward and hoping in the Lord.
Now, how do you speak to yourself? How does one speak to themselves when that faith feels inconsistent? Yes, I did hear that you say that more faith in the Lord, but I don't think that is even easy when hope is lost and it's literally at its lowest. How does one really speak to themselves? How does one pamper themselves up when the faith feels very weak, inconsistent, and sometimes gone?
Very true. Building from what I've said, sometimes we feel that our faith is very weak and inconsistency, and we feel this vacuum. And this journey of faith, I think it doesn't just require you walk alone. It requires now friends and colleagues, family members, and so on, so that you continue encouraging one another. Otherwise, when you are on your own, you can definitely quit. You can definitely give up, because the feeling of inadequacy comes upon you so strong, such that you end up what? Giving up. So speaking to yourself, again, by going back to the Word of God, I think that's the only way that comes to mind, how you can what? Get up and start the walk of faith again. Because if you alienate yourself away from the Lord, it becomes very difficult to take the step and continue taking the step, the walk of faith. But once we come back to the Lord, we lead His promises. Actually, the promises of the Lord are the ones that give us the fuel again to believe again the second time, believe again the third time. So coming back to God, and thinking God's Spirit gives us the strength to come back to Him and refuel ourselves, so that ourselves again we can stand positive on the right track with our God.
Yeah. Now I like that you spoke about getting family, getting friends, to come through. But what type of voices should those be? Or influences that, because it could be friends and family, that would say, no, man, Shibula, just get this thing. You know, I remember Job and his friends, and he had friends and family. I mean, the wife said, listen, curse this God and die. So what kind of voices are you then wanting to hold on to when you know, like Job, you feel like, man, I'm down and out. I've lost everything. But the hope is gone. Because we see in that story that it doesn't look like the friends injected positive energy.
Yes.
Even his spouse actually was just saying, like, just forget this thing, curse this God and just die. So talk to us. I mean, I don't know how Job survived that situation, but please take us through.
Very true indeed. When I start with Job, indeed his family was a letdown. His wife, and his close friends whom he trusted upon, when we read the story, it's not encouraging. But again, I like how his faith, just how it got stronger and stronger, such that he was able even to challenge them, say, the Lord gives, the Lord take. Shall we not accept evil from the Lord if at all it comes from the Lord? Mm. Okay, let the Lord deal with him. I think that was the inner faith that was in him, and of which we can learn lessons as Christians, that sometimes when things come harder, even those that are close to us, the voices that we hear that are very close, that we expect them to give us the solutions and to solve out our problems, they become the voices now that can even let us now be more distant away from God.
Yeah.
They can even bring decision upon us. So on the Job side, I think we learn lessons that we must depend upon ourselves and the God that we worship. Mm. Okay? But on the other hand, again, we may have good friends who may encourage us and lead us on the right path. So it is both. The coin it is on both sides, whereby sometimes we can have good friends that can encourage us, voices coming out, showing us the encouragement and the path. And on the other part, also we can have friends that can speak ill or curses upon us, like the friends that we see to Job. Job on himself, because of the relationship that he has. Again, we come back to the personal relationship that you have between you and your God.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
one is very, very, very important. The personal relationship. How strong is the relationship? Because when the relationship is strong, believe you me, foundations will fall. You will remain with your God.
Yeah.
And it history has proved it, yes.
Now, how does God meet people in Scripture who are struggling to believe? Do we have examples of people who actually struggle to believe. I mean, I don't think Job is one of them, because I think Job's faith and belief was very strong. But what about those who were struggling to believe? How did God, deal with those people? How did he meet with them? How did he help them? Do we have an example?
Yes. How does God meet people in Scripture who are struggling to believe? When we get back with the Scripture, it's very interesting how the Lord definitely came through for those people. And it took a long time. I don't know if the Lord was teaching them lessons of patience, of continue hoping, because when the Lord came through for those who were more like doubting God, for others, it took a lot of time. Okay, for others, it took a lot of time. For example, we can see the thief dying at the cross. Okay, in that single moment, in the dying minutes of his life, okay, he just said, "Lord, remember me." And by the way, we know that he was hanged between two robbers.
Yeah.
Okay. But he met Christ even in his dying moment. So Christ comes through to everyone despite what they have done. He can come through as long as genuinely we open up our hearts to believe in him again. He can come through despite what you and me, we have done. Okay, he doesn't look at the record, but he looks at what? At the heart. So the Lord has often met people in the Scriptures, even those that didn't believe, especially the woman at the well. Okay? The woman at the well, that's a Samaritan woman.
Yeah, yeah.
They had that conversation, and Christ introduced himself. And then she believed that, I know the Messiah was going to come, and said, Christ said, I am the Messiah.
Yeah.
And because of what Christ revealed to her, she met Christ, and from there, her life changed. Mm. She went into the city. She preached, said, come and see a man who has told me everything. So that coming together with the woman, or the Samaritan woman and Christ, it was a really very encouraging moment where we see a woman is struggling to believe the God of the Jews, and Christ comes through and explains himself, and it becomes clear the woman is converted. She becomes an evangelist. She goes out there and also calls others. So in a nutshell, we see that God has got a tendency of meeting each class of people.
Yeah.
Despite whatever the background they're coming from, Christ has got a way of meeting them. The Indians, the Chinese, they may claim that they don't believe in this Jesus, but God has got a way of meeting each and every class that we have upon this world.
Mm. You know, as you're talking, I'm reminded of a song, man. I think it was King's Heralds. He came down to my level when I couldn't get up to him. Remember that song?
Oh, yeah, I've heard it, yes. He came down to my level.
Yes. So what you're saying is that God comes down to that level. My goodness, it's a wonderful, powerful God. Now, lastly, my elder, before we let you go, what would it look like when one honors their faith, their hope, rather, as fragile as it may look, as fragile and weak as it may, rather than to hide it or abandon it?
Very, very important, because here we cannot pretend, okay? We cannot pretend. Most time and again, we've got this fragile heart. When we look at David, his weaknesses, his faith, okay? And what he has done. And yet at the end, the Lord said, this is a man after my own heart.
Yeah.
But when we look at him, he had killed, he committed murder. He had committed adultery, okay?
Yeah.
Those are the weaknesses, hope and faith that he had. But at the end, it is the drive again of coming to God. So honoring your fragile heart is that this is who I am, but God, come and save me
way
I am. Okay? So we have got our weaknesses, our inconsistency with our walk with the Lord. But again, we continue calling upon God to perfect us, to come and work in us, to make us a better person, rather than hide in hypocrisy. So sometimes we view our nature, who we are, our weaknesses, but still clinging on, continue calling upon the name of the Lord so that we don't hide our hypocrisy. It is a sin, but at the end of the day, we continue calling upon the Lord, because we err, we sin almost every day in so many ways. Are we going to relent and say, Me, I'm sinful. I'm not worthy. No, God cannot hear me. No, if we do that, brothers and sisters, that's why you see now drifting away far from what? From the presence of God. And the devil takes advantage. So it is better in our faults, in our weaknesses, we continue again clinging and calling upon God, and God has promised that once you come back to me, I'll come back to you again.
Yeah.
So we honor this fragile faith that this is who we are, the human experience, the human nature. We are weak and sinful by nature, and we tend to fall time and again. Uh-huh. But it's better we rise up again. Mm-hmm. Okay? When we fall, we rise up again, because we cannot hide when we fall. But what is important is to rise up again and continue our belief, our faith, and our walk with the Lord. Mm.
Reminds me of a verse by Solomon, who says that a righteous man falleth but seven times, but rises up again.
rises up again. Yes. Yeah, I think he's the best example, Solomon, yes.
Yeah, beautiful stuff, man. Elder Shibula, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been a fantastic conversation.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.